It's 90.5 WKAR and Current State. I'm Mark Bayshore. A Michigan State University study is aimed at doing a better job of monitoring the condition of American bridges. It starts next week, and Current State Scott Pohl is here with more. Researchers are starting at the state's most iconic bridge, right, Scott?
That's right, Mark. Imagine lowering yourself under the Mackinac Bridge.
Wow.
To install experimental sensors. Well, that's exactly what MSU Associate Professor of Structural Engineering Nizar Lajnev is about to do. He says the idea is to detect potential problems before they happen.
If we're talking about implementing hundreds or even thousands of sensors on a bridge, you cannot ask people to pay $1,000 per unit. So that cost is, and that's what's available in the market right now. So the first idea that we started with is to try to reduce the cost. And with the development that we did here, we were able to reduce it to less, like the projected value would be, the projected cost would be less than $1 per sensor. So we really reduced it a few orders of magnitude.
How did you do that?
That's the new technology.
Okay.
We have few patents. We've been working on this project for quite a few years now. And it started when I was doing my PhD. I did my PhD work here at MSU. And I've been working with Professor of Electrical Engineering, Shantanu Chakrabarty. He's now in Washington University in St. Louis. And also we have few projects with a couple of other universities, including the University of Southern California with Professor Masri. And we have a new project with University of Nevada at Reno to test these sensors on different platforms. And the idea is we came up with a new technology, which is, okay, in the past 20 years, everyone is moving to digital. All the electronics, everything is digital. And we are forgetting about analog. And if you think back in the 70s or even before, when everything started, it started with analog electronics. But when you're trying to do something very basic, like reducing the cost or implementing these new sensors, we went back to analog electronics. And if you think just simply about currents, if you're trying to do an addition, like adding two values, if you're doing it in digital electronics, you have to do analog to digital conversion, and then you do the addition, and then you convert back to get the value. If you're thinking analog electronics, what you do is just you put two wires together, two currents are coming, and then they will add, simply add. So that reduces, that really helps reduce the cost when it comes to electronics and other things. So that's what we did. We eliminated everything that is signal processing, digital conversion. We have eliminated the need for batteries, and that's the other thing that's very important that helps drives the cost down, because all available electronics right now, you need to power them. And if you think about batteries, maybe the best that you can get will last 1 to 2 years, and it's impractical for a bridge, again, like the Mackinac Bridge, to have 2,000 sensors and you have to go there every year, replace 2,000 batteries. That's impractical. So we came up with this technology where the sensor is powered by the vibration on the bridge, movement on the bridge. So we eliminated the need for batteries. And with that, all the electronics that are in between the memory where you record the data and the batteries, we eliminated everything. Right now it connects directly and it transforms vibration or strain into an electrical signal. Then we take that signal directly and we record it on a memory.
How big are these sensors?
The actual electronics, it says they are just 1 millimeter square, like 1 millimeter by 1 millimeter.
Oh.
That's all you need. And then comes the main part for the size is the antenna for communication and the package. So depending on your application, whether you are trying to implement it on a road or on a bridge, the packaging will be important because you need to protect it from the environment, from temperature, something like the Mackinac Bridge going down to -20°C or something.
Mm-hmm.
In winter, you need to protect the electronics. So most of the size will come from that. But the actual electronics and the piezo, they're just a quarter size disc, that's the piezo, and 2 millimeters for the sensor, that's it.
Right now, am I right that bridges are monitored with visual inspections? If I'm right about that, how do these sensors improve on that?
First thing is most of these inspections, they are very costly. That's the first thing. If you are relying on visual inspection, it's very costly because you need to send someone there once every year, once every 2 years, inspect every part of the bridge. The second thing is you don't have an objective measurement. You don't have objective data. So you're just looking at a bridge and trying to assess if something is wrong with it. What will the sensors do is they will assist in this monitoring. So first thing, they can reduce the number of inspections that you'll have to do. If you have a continuous stream of data that is coming in, you would only send someone only if you detect something, if the sensors are telling you something is wrong. So that reduces the cost, reduces the personnel hour that you have to send people there on the bridge. And also, they will assist by giving you a new type of data. So you're just continuously, all the time, you have an idea about the response of the bridge, whether it's stressed correctly, whether it's overstressed in each and every component. So it's more, it assists you in monitoring the data.
Now, it would sound to the uninitiated like myself that what we are monitoring here is movement on the bridge.
Right.
And I guess I'm curious about whether it differentiates between movements that are related to traffic as opposed to, say, the wind. And does it matter what might be causing the bridge to move?
It doesn't really matter at the end because we are monitoring at the local level. We are monitoring components. For example, we select a connection at the end of the bridge, and then we put sensors around it. So what we are interested in is the response of that connection, how much stress it's observing, whether it's coming from wind or traffic passing over it. What we are interested in is how much strain or stress that component is supporting. And we know the limits because people who design the bridge, they know exactly the limits for stress and strain and everything. So we can directly compare the performance of each and every component to what it's supposed to do, to its design parameters.
Would I be right in guessing that initially it would be setting a baseline, so to speak, and that future measurements will be compared to that baseline?
Exactly. Yeah, that's the whole idea with these sensors. That's why we can install them on existing bridges. So they would work with a new bridge, of course. That's the baseline.
Sure.
But for example, with the Mackinac Bridge, it's been already there for over
58 years.
So once we install them, we will have a baseline when it comes to its performance. And then starting from that point, we can compare its response over time to the time when we installed it. And we see if there's any degradation in performance or there's any difference. It doesn't have to be a negative, but if we are observing any difference in behavior, we can try to track back and find its origin or the reason that is happening. So that's it.
I'm talking with MSU civil and environmental engineer Nizar Lajnev. He soon will be placing sensors on the underside of the Mackinac Bridge in a research project that he hopes will improve on how we monitor the condition of bridges in the U.S. Do you know yet what date you'll be there at the bridge to place these sensors?
September 22nd.
The 22nd, okay. I'm curious to know how much you know about bridge collapses that have already happened. The one that everyone thinks of is the I-35 West span crossing the Mississippi River in Minneapolis.
190 people were on the bridge when it collapsed. By nightfall, 13 were dead.
Looks like the scene at the bridge from the information we have is largely a recovery operation at this time.
This project is funded by the Federal Highway Administration. And as part of the study, we looked at that specific case, the I-35 bridge. We have developed models that showed exactly what happened during the collapse based on reports from the NTSB, based on reports from FHWA. And then we have recreated that whole event in our computers in the lab. And then we assumed what would happen if we had sensors there. That was the scenario that we ran. And we would be able, according to our data that we simulated in the lab, if we had enough sensors placed in the right place there, we'd be able to pick up that event before it happened. We would see that something is wrong that is starting to happen. And if you remember, there was construction over the bridge, so there was something that is different when it comes to traffic. And these sensors would be able to tell you that the stress levels are too high. You have to be careful. Stop whatever you're doing.
So your testing on the Mackinac Bridge leads me to wonder why the Mackinac Bridge?
What is best than the iconic Mackinac Bridge in Michigan? So if we're in Michigan, it's like, of course, that's the one that we'll pick. The more technical reason is out-of-plane fatigue, distortion fatigue. It's a problem that we know that exists in all bridges, and it's due to a design that, like a practice that we used to do back in the 80s, the 90s, that MDOT, the Michigan Department of Transportation, has changed in early 2000s, and we are trying to look at that specific problem. So we looked at structures, and the Mackinac Bridge seems to be the best platform to test those kind of things, like the number of components, the length of the bridge, and that was the idea.
Do you envision a future where sensors like these are on every bridge and overpass in the country?
That's our plan, basically. After these tests, if everything is working, everything is successful, we are looking at installing more of them in the hundreds probably next year in the Mackinac Bridge. We're looking at bridges with the FHWA. We're looking at installing them in the DC area. We have agreements with the state of Virginia to try a couple of sensors there. And everything goes well, and we prove the validity of this technology. I think it will be installed everywhere.
I have to have a little fun with you now and ask you a question about the actual placement of these sensors on the underside of the Mackinac Bridge. You're going to do it yourself, right?
Yes, with two of my students.
Do you have a personal history of this sort of physical activity, like maybe rock climbing or something like that? Are you a little scared about doing this?
I'm not sure. The only thing I did is bungee jumping from a couple of bridges.
That's more than I've done.
I don't know. I drove over it a couple of times, but we'll see what happens.
Well, I hope you have good weather that day.
Yes, that's the plan. We have a backup date like the next following day on the 23rd, just in case the weather's not that good.
We've been talking with MSU researcher Nizar Lajneff. He's heading to the Mackinac Bridge soon to place sensors on the underside of the Mighty Mack in a project that he hopes will lead to better ways of monitoring the condition of bridges across the country. Thank you and good luck.
Thank you, Scott.
For Current State, I'm Scott Pohl.